Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you could be.
Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Gays Revolting.
So welcome back to another week, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So we have your regular hosts. We have our buzz cut beauty, Mikey.
Oh, hi.
That's good.
We have our Channel 7 monarchist, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, I was on the news.
And we have JB's trophy wife, Luke.
Hey.
And me, Kyle. I don't have anything for myself.
Hello, Kyle, my darling. How are you?
Hi,
beautiful
good.
Tanned, Kyle, this way.
Yeah, you know, just 5 minutes in the sun after my spray tan.
How have you been? Weekend. Your boyfriend's been away in New Zealand on holiday.
So lonely.
Aww.
No, he is so pure and cute. Like, he hid a present under my bed while he was away.
Aww,
that's so
for
nice.
Our 6 months. So
what
lame
was it?
But it was an art book about video games that I really wanted.
Oh, that's very nerdy.
Yeah,
but also really
he's
cute
so
as well.
Sweet.
I don't know if I told it on air, but I told you guys that I've been on a few dates with a guy.
Yes.
Very very cute and very very sweet. And it's the first time I've really dated anyone in about 5 years. Everything was going really well, and then
I heard this at your
what?
Yeah, I told this at trivia. No, look, it's not over, but I haven't heard from him for a few days because on Sunday I decided to cook him like a beautiful meal. So I got up early and went to the Queen Victoria markets and got my fresh produce, thinking I was like Sigrid Thornton walking around
was
the markets.
Was this the lasagna that you
said? Yeah, I did a veggie. Yeah, I did a vegetarian lasagna and a salad and red wine and stuff. And he came around and we had it and it was lovely. We had conversations amazing. He's very smart. He's very into politics. And then we thought we'd watch a documentary. So we popped a documentary on the TV and we got about 10 minutes in and he passed out. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, there's 2 bottles of wine here. I'm not going to let them go to waste. So I sat there and watched 3.5 hours of documentaries and finished off the 2 bottles of wine. And then I was like, okay, well, we should probably go to bed. He's got to go to uni in the morning. So I woke him up. We went to bed. And about halfway through the night, he woke me up and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I've got to go. I think I might have to go home. And I was like, oh, why? And he was like, oh.
Asthma.
Was
asthma
it the last
attack?
No, it wasn't an asthma attack. He goes, I have uni in the morning. I was like, yeah, but my place is closer to your uni than yours is. Like, it's fine. You can just go from here. He's like, oh, it's just your snoring really loudly. Because when I think I have sleep apnea anyway, but when I drink a lot, I snore really badly. And I had 2 bottles of wine and a couple of billies to myself. And he was like, it's not so much the volume of the snoring, it's just that every now and then you start choking and I'm really worried that you're going to die and I can't let myself go to sleep while you're doing that. So I was like, oh, it's okay. You stay and I'll just lie on my side and everything was fine. So then I just like sat up in bed all night trying not to go back to sleep so that he wouldn't think. And I haven't heard from him since. You know.
Tag him in the show.
Yeah.
Tag him on the next well,
does he know? Does he listen? Does he know about the show?
He does know about the show, yes. But he's several episodes behind, so I probably won't hear from him for a few weeks.
We're safe to talk about it.
It'll be hard to get through this episode without talking about a recent development in the Australian political scene. Let's serve up.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Oh, I see.
I see what you did there.
Another,
don't make a racket about it.
Oh, that was my next part.
Sorry.
Oh, we'll give you a backhanded compliment for that one.
Oh, hey.
So in another type of revolting, Australia has hit the headlines again for a cartoon of Serena Williams. To give a bit of background, recently Serena Williams was penalized 3 points during the US Open. One for coaching. Mm-hmm. I had to ask a straight person to explain.
Yeah, can you explain to me? I don't understand what that is.
This is all going off secondhand from a heterosexual person.
Nothing can be trusted.
Don't come for me. According to him, Serena was allegedly being coached from the sidelines.
Right, and they're not supposed to do that during a game. No.
During the game. Coach was making a hand symbol.
A gesture,
which could have been a thumbs up. And then apparently you're not allowed to smash your racket, which she did because she was upset about being called for the coaching, and then was also penalized for harassment because she was cracking it.
That's right.
So that's like one whole can of worms, but then we have a double can of worms, which is just to bring some, you know, undercurrent of racism into it. Where the Herald Sun published a cartoon of Serena and the incident, and it was your old school minstrel Jim Crow style illustration of Serena cracking it amidst a crowd of white people. I know it's not explicitly LGBT related, but I feel like it's having such an impact on where we are as society.
Yeah.
And plus, I love talking about sport.
Yeah.
It's my favorite topic. I'm the sport queen. Who has looked at this?
Oh, yeah.
Cartoon?
It was hard to miss. Oh, yeah. It's pretty fucking awful. Yeah. My only real knowledge of sports is that movie A League of Their Own with Madonna.
Of course.
So I don't know about that much about what she was penalized for. I don't know whether she deserved that or not or whatever. But reading the way that it's been reported, first of all, which is words like tantrum and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like men don't get called, well, you don't read in these newspapers a man threw a tantrum or anything. Like it's very sexist in the way that it's been reported.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any way that a experienced cartoonist cannot know what the Jim Crow era is. And you look at these pictures, there was a lot of comparisons of the cartoon next to a lot of the Jim Crow blackface stuff.
Oh my gosh,
and you see direct comparisons. There's no coincidence in that. What I think it is literally him and the Herald Sun wanting to create controversy, and they've succeeded in that.
Yeah, totally.
And it's sad that that's what sells newspapers now.
What really annoyed me is that the following day, the Herald Sun decided to put on their front page all the caricatures that... Oh, sorry, what's the guy's name again? His name's Mark Knight.
Mark Knight,
that he's done in the past of politicians, of Australian politicians. But the thing is, they were all white people depicted in a certain way.
Yeah, and you can't draw a white person with an offensive historical context because there isn't one.
Exactly right. It was just hideous.
It was embarrassing. I mean, it's been, you know, J.K. Rowling's been posting about it.
Everyone has been.
The New York Times, like every news outlet around the world.
It was on the Wendy Williams show.
That girl went in.
She was like, the undertone of racism in this is ridiculous.
It is.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Wow. Nicki Minaj called him cocksucker of the day.
Wow. Oh my god.
Which is another problematic area to get into.
That's how, like, opening up a whole lot more. So yeah, I was reading the article and then I remember trying to find the actual cartoon to see it. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
No.
You just can't claim ignorance to that. Like that is clearly designed to antagonize.
So
people.
Do you think he purposely did that? Do you think it was just like a microaggression that he just didn't even realize that he was painting?
No, I think that is not a microaggression. Even like to pick it apart in minute detail, there's like elements of it that are really specific to the Jim Crow thing. So the hair standing up on the thing, that didn't really make sense with the rest of the picture and the way she was jumping and stuff. So that's a conscious decision to have that there. And there's so many elements of it that were clearly designed to,
like, the way that they depicted the opposing player as well.
Oh my gosh, because
it was just Naomi made her very white with blonde hair.
She just looked like a blonde bimbo in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just like
Japanese Haitian, I think. Her background.
And I would like to make it clear for our international listeners that probably aren't aware of the Herald Sun. It's an incredibly conservative Murdoch news outlet that does post a lot of these things. I promise you, not all of our newspapers do this, but it's not good enough that this one did.
Well, to shift it a little bit as well, there was a direct response from the Herald Sun. I think the following day, I think it said welcome to PC.
It was a pre-PC zone or something like that.
PC zone.
Yeah.
They thought it was the most important thing that they put it on the front cover of the newspaper with all of the shit that's going on in the world. They put it front page news a story about how their cartoonist the previous day had done this and was defending him on their front page of their newspaper.
Yeah. Was this also the newspaper that cut me out of the photo?
Yes. You're
like, they've made an enemy.
It's also the newspaper that has hired me and paid me to write articles, but I figured that it's good to do good stuff.
Yeah.
Forget Serena Williams, Luke is the number one enemy.
So I just got to say, this newspaper actually cut me out of a photo too, but my shoulder looked great.
Raise your hand if you feel personally victimized.
But PC culture's I hate to call it PC culture, but as soon as I got Twitter, I learnt I was wrong about 20 million things in the world. Yeah. I open it up every day and go, oh shit, I was really wrong about that. Mm. For me, it's a positive. It means I can no longer feign ignorance. It's accessible to me at all times, how people feel about things, what different viewpoints there are on things, and what I might be ignorant to. Obviously, that's not how everyone feels, though. People feel like they're being censored or attacked or unable to voice their opinions on things.
I don't know how to feel about it. I feel both, because I feel like a lot of things are like madness. What can you even laugh about anymore? But then there's certain things that you just do not address or touch.
I just think you have to not be an asshole.
And
I think the problem that we're having with this discussion around PC culture is that everybody has a different definition of what PC culture is. The way I think about it, and knowing you guys, I imagine the way you guys probably think about it is along the lines of, it is not offending somebody for anything that they can't help.
Well, anything that they can't change about themselves.
Discriminating against anybody that is a part of themselves. For me, that's PC culture, I like that. I think that's good. Some people seem to think that it means you can't be irreverent, which I strongly disagree with. Mm-hmm. I think it was Ricky Gervais said, never confuse the subject of a joke for the punchline of the joke. And so from my experience in the comedy world, a lot of people complaining about, oh, PC culture, you can't joke about anything anymore. No, you can. You just got to be smart about how you do it. And you don't want to make someone who's already a vulnerable target the punchline of your joke. That's not funny, you know?
Totally. Like, let's not attack minorities.
Exactly.
With PC culture, like, plays a really good role in society to call out all the assholes.
Yeah.
And then there are certain groups of people that take it that little bit too far. Every little tiny little thing becomes a PC thing.
Yeah.
You ask my friends, I'm a big fan of calling people out for stuff. Yeah. That's my part-time hobby, you know? And I feel like part of PC culture that I think is really important, and I think it's a shift socially, and feel free to call me out online if I'm wrong about this. I feel like the increase in PC culture is we've gone through a phase of educating people about minorities. We've gone through that acceptance and equality phase where we're saying, these are the issues, these are the things wrong. And we're at a stage now where we're tired of teaching, and it's no longer our responsibility to educate people that are not minorities about what's right and wrong, because the information is out there.
Yeah.
And we've been through those conversations. The legislations have changed and there's been these big things. So PC culture, I feel, a part of that is a kind of slap on the wrist of being like, it's up to you now.
Mm-hmm.
You're done fucked up because we've been through this conversation.
I think this instance of PC culture is completely warranted and fair.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, like definitely 100%.
But I do get what you're saying, that there are some people that...
Some people love to be offended, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, they will just find something in anything.
I'm sitting right here.
God damn it, Luke. Stop being so offended.
I don't know if you guys saw Adam Bandt, the deputy leader of the Greens, posted a photo of him and his wife at the opening night of Bangarra, the Indigenous dance troupe, captioned it with "at Bangarra with my hot wife." And then there was a whole lot of posts underneath it saying, how dare you objectify women like this? And his wife sort of got in there and was like, I kind of like that my husband thinks that I'm hot. Like, I'm okay with this. This is totally fine. That got pulled apart by the extreme right that were like, oh, look at this PC culture gone mad. And it's like, well, that's not everybody. Like, not everybody is saying that. Yeah. What we would like is just this middle ground of, please don't be assholes to other people.
Totally
and there is always going to be extremists in any movement that take things a little bit too far. Yeah. You're right. But the majority of it, I think, is a pretty good thing.
Yeah. As well, like with the whole cartoonist and everything, I found myself in a YouTube hole the other night.
And
I just found this like compilation video of like racism throughout history in cartoons.
Oh,
holy moly.
Yeah. Disney, the old Warner
movies
Brothers.
And stuff. Like, have you, like, Fantasia?
Yeah.
Did you see like the little centaurs and everything?
The
like,
mushrooms?
Like the little like slave centaurs.
Yeah.
And, what's it, Lady and the Tramp with the Siamese cats? And like how it is so bad. Yeah. I can't believe.
But that's like with all art history. Like, you go back through the ages and the way that black people are depicted is horrendous. Put up next to white people, they look like animals.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, that's not.
And these like Disney movies you've been brought up with and you like don't realize at the time. And looking back, you're like, wow.
Disney also sneak a lot of dicks into the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like they're like in The Little Mermaid, the castle or something.
So on a lighter note, dicks. If you want a better YouTube
That's not YouTube.
And we brought it round to dicks. Oh, damn.
That's another tube. The other day, I was lost in my thoughts at gym, running on the treadmill, you know, just trying to work that flab into fab.
Oh, please, there isn't an inch on you.
And just like looking around the gym and stuff, you see a lot of like phrases and sayings and things and push your limits.
I love
those kind of things. Like, you know, all the stuff like get you going and everything.
Last time I was at the gym, the sign said vote Howard.
Wow. I got to thinking about certain phrases and how they're applied to people, like stepping out of your comfort zone, or like if it doesn't strike fear in you, like is it even worth doing? These phrases are meant to like better people and motivate them and everything and like help them lead healthy lives. But applying it to me in the context of being gay, and it got me thinking about instances where I have felt that maybe I couldn't step out of my comfort zone because I was gay. And even it sometimes becoming an issue, like can we even afford to step out of our comfort zone because of safety?
Yeah.
And even last night when I was just on my way home in an Uber and I was chatting to this old white Aussie guy and we're just like making like the normal small talk with like, oh, what do you do for work and everything? And I was explaining to him that I work in like wedding photography, having like good old chat. And then he like pauses and says, he's like, oh, I hate to ask this. And I was like, oh God, like my heart sunk and I knew exactly where the conversation was going. And then he's like, oh, do you do any of those, you know, those same sex marriages? And I was like, yeah, of course we do. And I just felt myself instinctually, automatically just going to change the topic.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I just need to get away from this.
And
now.
you feel yourself putting on like a,
like, and I was like, obviously he didn't realize that he had like a homo sitting right next to him. Part of me, like, I was like, I want to stand up for myself. I want to say, do you know what? You actually have a gay person right here. Like, there's nothing wrong with this. I could hear in the tone of his voice that I knew what his views on the situation would be. I knew where it would go.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'm trapped in a car with this person. Like, who even knows where this could go? Like, if I wanted to say something, he could just flip around and, like, go crazy. Or, like,
what did you rate him on Uber?
5 stars. Literally. I'm like, that is like, it's like, I'm just, and then even at the end of it, I'm like, oh, like he thought I was like a nice guy. Like he was all like really pleasant at the end. I'm like, I was just thinking how this could have completely changed if I had just come out to this random stranger in this car and how his views of me would completely change.
Sort of it like isn't
as easy
safety.
For us maybe as straight people stepping out of our comfort zones all the time because we have more to consider and more like at stake.
I think
like, do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I've talked about it at the show before about the internal mathematics that homosexual people or minorities, any minority, have a constant internal dialogue that's like a maths equation of like how to present, how they're speaking, what effect does that have on the person they're interacting with, and a constant analysis of their safety.
Yeah, that's
level.
It. Like,
what?
That's
points.
The thing, because for us, like, stepping out of your comfort zone can be stepping out of safety. Like, that's
like worrying about your safety based on your sexuality and or race.
I mean, that's a
like,
constant struggle. For
yeah, that's people. It. Yeah. Like, it's always on my mind. Like, regardless. Like,
you have to guide
I'm
yourself.
Fortunate that I live in a place where like being gay is okay, and like I live in the north. Like, there's lots of gay people everywhere. It's fine. But I find when I, even when I'm in the city, I'm still sort of like got my wits about me.
Yeah.
Like always. But like, I think the most prevalent time that I've ever felt that is when I leave the city completely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
For international listeners, Melbourne, where we are all based, is Australia's most liberal city or progressive city, voting wise at least, and sort of a big education city and quite multicultural. But Australia is a very big and sparsely populated country and has some very different parts of it around the place.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to travel a lot around Australia and I loved it. I loved going to country towns. We would, you know, drove through the desert, all that sort of stuff. And I loved visiting tiny little towns and that sort of thing. When I was 18, finished high school, I moved to Ballarat in rural Victoria.
Boy,
it's an old gold mining town many years ago and population 100,000. And I went there for uni for a year because they have a university that had a good acting course. It was a 3-year course, but I felt like I only really needed the 1 year. But when I got in, I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, amazing. I'm going to go live in this country town. Yeah. I love country towns. I love the country. I love being in nature and shit. Moved there and it was great at first and I'd go to costume costume parties, and I'd be running around the town middle of the night dressed as Tinkerbell, because, you know, it was an acting course.
Yeah.
We were all gay and we would all do costume parties and stuff all the time. Halfway through the year, I think it was the university's queer support group ran a gay night at a pub on the main street in Ballarat. And the pub had an upstairs, like, entry level and a basement level. And they hadn't booked the whole venue. They just booked the basement level for this event. Mm. So, like, half the university went. We're all in, like, hot pants and singlets and all that sort of shit. Around about midnight-ish, it got stormed by, like, a group of bikies, I guess you'd say. They had motorbikes and they're all in leather and stuff. And there was only one staircase. And 20 or 30 of them ran down this staircase all at the same time and just started beating the shit out of everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was, like, bad, like, really bad. And after that, I spent the last 6 months in Ballarat never leaving the house by myself after dark, never feeling safe on the streets by myself or anything like that. And since then, I've really stopped properly going to rural areas in Australia, which is sad. It's really sad because I do feel safe in our like little inner city Melbourne bubble. So a line from Priscilla Bernadette says, I don't know if that ugly wall of suburbia was put there to keep us from getting out or to keep them from getting in. But in some weird way, it protects us all, which I think is really interesting.
It was in Ballarat as well, actually. I went there with a partner.
Like, you had a partner?
Yeah, I know.
What? 84 years ago.
China had never been used.
We got an Uber, and like I'd Googled gay nightlife. No, it was Bendigo. It was Bendigo. Yeah. And I did like gay nightlife Bendigo and got zero hits. Actually, it was like a few toilets that you could get blowjob in.
Bend and go.
Got in an Uber and said, we're going here. The Uber driver was like, you probably don't want to go there, guys. And I was like, why not? It's just like, we're going to do some shots. I'm going to do some voguing. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
You know, the most masculine dance move of them all.
Yeah. And she was like, no, you probably don't. And I was in my bubble for so long. Yeah. I was like, no, I am capable of dealing with this situation. I'm going to go to the straight person club.
Yeah.
I'm going to Vogue. Everyone's going to love me. Didn't listen to her, got there. And then as soon as we got to the door, the bouncer was like, I don't think you should actually come in
here. Wow. At least everyone was looking out for you.
And
was he like coming from a place of like caring for your well-being?
No.
Or like he was like, don't come
right.
in. He was like, don't come in here.
Oh, okay.
And it was that same feeling where you realize like, I've been in a bubble and now that I'm outside of that bubble, I'm actually very unsafe.
Yeah.
Okay. And people can tell I'm outside of my bubble. Yeah.
Like I used to love going to the footy when I was a kid with my family. And I think that's probably why a lot of gay men don't follow sports. It's not the actual sports side of it. It's the culture,
the crowd
that goes,
that it pulls.
Because I remember as I got older, like seeing like these grown men, you know, shout out faggot and stuff like that. And it's just like, why would I associate with that environment? I would like to say about Ballarat though, I did recently go back and it has changed a lot. Like my experience there was 13 years ago. Feels a lot more progressive now. There's a lot more art spaces and things like that. I think as Melbourne and Sydney are getting more expensive, a lot of sort of artistic people have moved to
the arts
like Ballarat.
Will always
fix everything.
Fix things.
But I think Bendigo is probably still pretty much as it was 13 years ago.
Yeah, I think like a 13-year-old girl asked me for cigarettes and when I said she called me a faggot and tried to punch me.
Oh my God.
She would have won. She would have won. I picked my battles.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not taking her on.
I think the last time that like I felt out of like my comfort zone and like out of my safety bubble was unfortunately the last time I visited my family in Tasmania. Because like I go every year, like it's no issue whatsoever.
Oh yeah, because Tasmania recently learning about all
that. Like, and I think coming into like doing drag and stuff, I dress more effeminately when I feel like it and I don't give a crap and I wear makeup when I want to. Yeah.
And it's so good.
Yeah, and I love it and it's a great freedom of expression.
Can you record more in makeup? Sorry, that was really cool that time.
It just takes a lot of time.
Are we not worth the effort?
Yeah, so I went earlier this year and I remember just like rocking up to see my family and none of them give a shit. Like, they don't care. But then it was the looks from everyone around us everywhere we went that I was just like, I'm not in a comfortable space. I don't know if I'm in a safe space right now. People don't even want to talk to me.
Oh, yeah, they hate talking to us. That's the thing too. They hate it.
You'll catch it.
Like, and it wasn't until like we'd gone to a Bottle-O one night. I had this like beautiful floral kimono. No one.
Oh my gosh.
And like,
amazing. Fantasy.
I was just like living my life and it was great. And I get to the counter with the bottles of wine that I had, and the man wouldn't even look at me.
Wow.
Really?
He just like scanned it, was looking down, and it was just like, And I beeped my card on the FOS machine, and he just like pushed the bottles towards me. Didn't even hand them to me. And then I picked up my bottles, like, thanks. And he turned around. and look the other way. And wow. I was just like,
what a jerk.
I'm really not in a safe space right yeah. now. And the rest of the time that I was there, I just was at my family's house. Mm. I didn't really go out. Mm. It was just like, oh, cool. All right. This doesn't feel great because I'm so used to being in Melbourne yeah. where it doesn't matter. Mm. Like, no one gives a shit.
One thing I would like to talk about is the Broken Heel Festival. I don't know if you guys
know. Oh, yeah.
The festival. So if anyone that's not aware, Broken Heel is a small town in very, very rural Australia. It was in the movie Priscilla, Queen of the yep. Desert. It's the scene. They go to the bar and the woman says, what have we got here, hey? Oh, a couple God. Of showgirls, have we? Where do you ladies play? And she said, light your tampon and blow your box yeah, apart. Yeah. That's right.
Oh my God.
And then they have the fun night. And then the next morning, they've written on the side of the bus, the AIDS bus. Fuckers go home.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that town, very old, very mining, very mask. Mm. The mining's dried up and they've had a financial crisis, I guess you'd call yeah. it. So a few years ago, the woman that owns a pub started this festival called the Broken Heel Festival. So the town's Broken Heel. The festival's Broken Heel, and it's a drag festival, and they've got all these drag queens from Sydney and that's Melbourne so cool. and some sister girls from the Northern Territory and stuff yeah. to come and put on a big festival of drag in the city, and the town is so behind it. And you watch these videos, it's and so I was getting good. Like all teary aww. Watching it. Yeah. The woman that played the role in Priscilla the movie,
she's like a celebrity there.
She's like a celebrity of the whole thing. They reenact it at the bar every year, and you know the hotel that they stay at that has like the hideous yeah. paint murals all over. Yeah, it's yeah, still yeah. there. It's still got oh the murals.
God. Guys, can we go and watch the entire this after?
Well, I wanted to go and I looked at booking yeah, accommodation a few months ago and it's entirely booked out and it's been a huge success. And then townspeople at first, apparently, because they interviewed the woman that's organized yeah. it, and she was saying like, look, when I suggested it, there was quite a few people in the town that weren't too keen on it. But now they've fully embraced it. They love this long weekend where all the gays and the drag queens come to town and it's so been good. Amazing for their economy. So,
anyway. So basically we're saying that drag is a more sustainable economic model than mining.
Absolutely.
And also, I just want to add that we are all thick-skinned people when we talk about this stuff. None of us are particularly fragile people.
No.
Some of us have had fists inside of us.
Yeah.
We are
more than one.
We are pretty tough, resilient people. I think when four people like us talk about being uncomfortable, you have to remember that there are people with even less self-confidence and internal security than the four of us. That's a real scary thought.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So in my work, I come across a lot of very different people, and one of my lovely regular clients this week, I was just having a general conversation with her about a couple of my friends, and these people generally use the pronoun they, them. And the entire time that I was explaining to my client about them, they stopped me halfway through and they were just like, so what are they?
Mm.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, their pronouns are they, them. And I was like, but what are they? And I was just like,
danger, Will Robinson, danger. Yeah.
Back out now.
Yeah. And I just had to explain to her what non-binary was and why they use the pronouns they, them. Because gender is a spectrum at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Like, not everybody fits into male or female or non-binary.
I really liked our guest, Jacob Thomas, who we had a few episodes ago, who said gender is a galaxy. Yeah, and I kind of like that more three-dimensional concept of gender. It's not like a line where you sit somewhere.
It's not like
on
a linear thing.
It's up,
like,
down, backwards, forwards, side. I really like that.
Visual
stuff
thinking.
Like, personally, there was a time where I was sort of questioning my own gender because I had come into contact with a lot of people who consider themselves non-binary and trans, and the way that they expressed it to me is that they don't identify with either. They feel like they're somewhere in between, and especially coming into doing drag as well, it's sort of opened up a lot of hyper-feminine side of myself.
Absolutely.
Do I 100% identify as a male or not? Mm-hmm. Or I just enjoy my feminine side at the same time as being a male. And I came to the point where I was just like, no, I am 100% confident in my gender that I was born with, and this is how I identify. I just like being feminine from time to time. Whereas, like, I have friends who are just like, I'm neither. I'm somewhere in between. I'm a mixture of everything, and this is just who I am personally.
I'll be honest, I don't get gender non-binary. I've thought about it, but I've never had to question my gender. But I'm also a camp man that feels like a prissy show girl in a 6 foot one white broad tall man's body, and I've been attacked a lot because of who I am, basically. So when I say I don't get gender non-binary, it's just that I can't relate to it. I think I understand trans a bit easier because I can sort of understand, okay, cool, you weren't born with that, the mentality of the body that you're in. I don't get gender non-binary, but I don't need to. It's fine that I don't understand it. It's fine that I can't connect to it or relate to it. And I've learned that from my own experiences of being attacked, I guess, for being who I am, it doesn't matter if I don't understand what that is. I just want people to live however the fuck they want to live, and however they present and however they think of themselves is perfectly fine, and that's totally fine that I don't get it. Let's just all live a happy life.
I think that's really good.
No, I love that.
I'm generally very confused about it. Like, I would never want to like offend anybody, but like, I'm very open to learning about it. I just really like being on this podcast, and I am learning so much because I haven't had much contact with non-binary people or trans people. But yeah, I would love to.
I think it ties into our first discussion about PC culture. It's like, I'm not having a go at you, but I think it's all well and good to say I'm open to learn about this and I want to know more about it, but the information's there. You can
I think there's a difference between learning and reading about it. Like, I've read a lot about what gender non-binary is, and I have met people. What I guess, at least my point is, I don't know if it's the same for you, Kyle, is that I totally get it as a concept. I just can't imagine how...
I think that's a different viewpoint to what Kyle is saying, what I'm saying. If there's something you want to know about and that you feel like you don't know about, and you feel sorry that maybe you're offending people or getting the terms wrong, look it up.
I mean, I don't think I have offended anyone yet. Hopefully not ever.
There's a real easy solution to that.
Like, you got the resources there.
You've got the resources. Yeah. And like, I'm similar to you, Tom. I don't identify as non-binary. I've never had that personal discussion with myself or that query, but I do understand what it feels like to identify as queer, which is kind of not clearly defined in a space that's already been set up. And I know how personal and how incomprehensible that can be to someone from the outside. So it's a really cool spot to be in when you realize I'm experiencing what other people experience when they talk to me, and I have to treat people the way I want to be treated, which is to value and respect their experience.
Definitely.
And what they tell me is their own truth, and just to learn as much as I can. And if I feel like I don't know something and that I'm potentially walking into a minefield, that I can go and at least do my best to do some background research, because I'm not having a go at you in any way, shape, or form.
I have tried reading up about it. Just, I've felt confused. Like, so I guess because I haven't had to apply it in my real everyday life yet. I just don't have any examples or anything that I can apply it to. But like, I think just treat everyone with respect, and I'm just very open to everything and accepting of everything. So I guess that's all I can do at this moment.
And I think it's until you have people in your life that do identify that way that you start to really understand it as a person. Totally. Like, because even if you don't personally identify that way and can't even relate, when you're actually around people who do identify that way, you're just like, absolutely, like, you are non-binary, like, you don't fit in any of the gender norms that society has put out there. And I love that you've identified that in yourself and that you're comfortable enough to like be that person.
Luke, do you know what I've realized in this episode is the big difference between you and me?
Right now?
Sorry. Chill up, everybody.
Not to have this 11 episodes in.
And I think the reason I dislike you is because you remind me a lot of myself and I hate myself, but I've just pinpointed it. And it's that feeling of not explaining yourself to people and not, and the information is there and people can go and read about it if they need to learn about something and stuff. Now, that's your mentality. And that's a mentality that for me, it's like, oh yeah, in an ideal world, that's what would happen. Yeah. But I just feel like in the real world, that's never going to happen. Every movement that's happened in the history of the world has not been because people have gone out and done their research. It's because people have been protesting and chanting and saying, no, you need to acknowledge us and you need to learn about us and you need to do this. 2 weeks ago, I'm just going to name drop here because that's what I do. Really well. I went to Georgia. I went to Georgia Love, the Bachelorette's 30th birthday party, and it was a music theatre party, and I went in full drag as Fräulein Maria from The Sound
Which
of Music.
Was incredible.
In the straw hat really and cool. the gingham jacket and the suitcase.
I was literally
like
showing
that.
Someone at work that today.
It was such an amazing party. It was so much fun. And we were, again, to go back to Bubbles, we were in a safe zone. She booked out the Regent Theatre foyer, and it was camp, and there was lots of amazing people there in full costume and stuff. We drank a lot, and we decided to, my friends and I that were at the party, decided to go out afterwards, and we ended up at a very straight, incredibly heterosexually toxic club, because it was the nearest club, and because we were drunk, we thought it was a good idea and a smart idea. Went outside for a cigarette at one point, and these four big, muscly, straight, outer suburban, bogan lads came up to me and were like, why the fuck are you dressed like that? And what I want to do and what I could do is say, fuck you, I don't need to answer to you and that sort of thing, and walk away. And I have every right to do it. But for me, what I did was just started doing stand-up basically to them in drag, making fun of myself a little bit and also saying, well, you boys obviously have boring lives if I'm the hottest woman here that you want to talk to and that sort of stuff. And we ended up having this great discussion. By the end of it, they were like, you're a fucking legend. Like, I've never met a guy that's gay or dresses like this before and blah, blah, blah. And they were buying me drinks and that sort of thing. Now, these guys are assholes and I don't want to be friends with them and I'm never going to be friends with them. But I feel like I got more out of that situation than had I have said, fuck off. I don't need to talk to you and just walked away.
Well, my viewpoint is never that activism is a useless thing and that everyone should know. I have very high ideals for people, especially people that are specifically in my life and that are potentially active members of this community. And I think that's a different ideal to hold people to than the great unwashed or whatever you would call it. I think activism is a huge part of social change and is super important.
Do you not think that the one-on-one conversations are part of activism?
I do think absolutely. I think every day Mikey going out in a full face is its own form of activism. And everything we do, this show being on the banner with the words gays are revolting is activism in its own way. When it comes to members of our own community, it's really just a message of to not be complacent within ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where my position on that comes from.
Yeah.
And people have called me up on it before and been, that's not realistic, or I think you're giving people too much credit to go and
I think it's just important to remember that not everyone is as immersed in the community and hasn't had the opportunity to be as immersed in the community as we have.
Yeah, and I would never tell someone not to educate someone if they were in a position to. But at a certain point, we do also have to start telling people, you should already know this by now. And my ideals are that people would do that. And I know that's a kind of pie in the sky. Lovely.
Absolutely. And ideally it is. And sometimes the conversation is not so much the one that I was in the other day where it's literally having to do stand up for them to make them my friend. But sometimes it is just sharing information or sharing something for somebody to read for them to learn about it and not having to have the whole conversation yourself either. I get it. Like, I think we're on the same page with this. It's just sort of different approaches.
Yeah, I think it's a grey area. And especially when it comes to educating. And we even talked about it weeks ago, like holding your partner's hand in public is an act of political rebellion and activism in and of itself, whether you want it to be or not. We're all kind of politicized and activists in our own way. But yeah, I will admit I have very high standards for people. I have a lot of faith in people, and the people closest to me cop it the most.
Just to wrap things up, it is very apparent that none of us are non-binary, and we cannot say that we have any experience in what non-binary people feel. And I hope that we have been very respectful, which I think we have. Like, I think it's good.
I think the more everyone's talking about things, the better. Yeah.
Like, having the conversation is great, and like continuing it on with everybody is great. And I hope that we've been able to all express our own gender respectfully.
we said a couple of weeks ago, if people wanted to give us some suggestions on topics to talk about, join our group. You can post them in the group or message us on our socials.
Yes.
And
what did they
almost wish that we hadn't.
That's some doozies.
The topic is spitting versus swallowing.
Holy fuck, you dirty
Here
listeners.
We go. Mikey, I'm desperate to know about yours.
Oh, I'm definitely
with
a swallower.
Fat old
straight up. Absolutely a swallower. Yeah. Like, wow. I am like a no mess kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's cleaner.
It's a lot cleaner, yeah. And I find it like it's hot.
Yeah.
Like, it really gets me going. I'm just like,
I need to picture it. I need my fantasies to be like photo real. Do you like it sort of all over my face and then I'm going to lick it up? Or is it just straight?
No. Into my mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
so no like Krispy Kreme glaze.
No. Oh, that's too much mess for me to clean up later.
Kyle.
Okay. I'm saying yeah. The worst thing. Come on.
Too far, Kyle.
Yeah, let's, what?
No.
Kyle, what are you?
Oh, Jesus. I don't. Mm-mm.
Neither.
I like it.
I don't like. Keep away from me. I wish lesbians have it so easy. They don't make no mess. Like, and then,
I
wish,
I don't know.
Wait,
ladies squirt.
Oh, yeah, true. Mm-mm. But I was like, I wish it was like a button you could turn off. I was like,
not as it's messy. I think it's not
so
as
messy.
Sticky.
It's tough. Yeah. It's too like loads you have to worry about.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, I don't wait for theirs.
I like it when people like, yeah. Come on. I'm going to
start coming in someone's mouth.
Yeah, that's generally. Yeah, yeah.
So you like. So when you come, you like to come in their mouth.
Yeah, that's hot. Yeah. And there's nothing to clean up.
You don't like it.
I don't return the favor.
Is it?
Are you all right with it on your face?
No.
Body?
I guess if I have to.
Is it the taste or is it the like feeling?
It's everything. Also, like I had this weird bad experience once.
What do you like? Come in a bin.
It was like No, I just had this like kind of. I went home with someone like. Fucking ages ago, I was really drunk and we were like hooking up and I was like half falling asleep and everything and they just did it without kind of
they just
consent.
Blew out your face.
Yeah, like in my mouth.
Oh.
And I was like half asleep.
Yeah, that's not
so
okay.
Like that was
that's
a horrible
really
yeah. And
I hope
like
not
yeah,
a
it's
a
bit no, I left that's immediately.
Yeah.
Not your thing.
So,
now
as
Luke,
you can tell,
if
I'm having trouble
guess,
talking about this.
Your favorite is in the mouth and in the butt at the same time.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
Luke doesn't have a hot and cold shower faucet. He has. Like...
I think I've made it clear on the show that I'm a fan of bodily fluids
general.
And the joke is, if you ever had like one of those CSI UV lights, you'd be able to see me from the other from
you'd
the
be
outer
a friendly goat.
All of your clothing, all of everything.
Look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
It'd be like Casper the Friendly Goat.
I'm a fan of both. I am also very anal retentive when it comes to tidying up a mess.
Yeah.
So I think it's just more. What's the word? Not convenient. It's just more responsible.
Yeah.
More responsible, and it saves the tissues.
It's
so
sort of
it's
like
more
when
efficient.
You're cooking, you clean as
efficient.
You go kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's environmentally friendly.
Exactly. And it gives you protein as well.
And it's a protein.
Protein.
Hashtag
rose. I hate that. No.
How bad is it?
The only weird kind of spit swallow story I have is when an ex wanted to try a beat or like outdoor sex. And so we went to some weird park. I got very scared because I couldn't see and it was dark. And I said, take me home. And he said, only if I get to come. And so we just gave each other blowjobs in a bush at a park. And I
as you do.
Spat it out for some reason. And then I had this like immediate thought of, is someone going to come across this?
Is it going to grow into a tree?
Oh, yeah. Who's
going to
have a little Luke tree?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it is weird, too. Like, I really love it. But it's that weird, like, instant Catholic shame. You know, like the second after you masturbate or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like. Catholic? Were you Catholic raised?
Yeah,
well?
Absolutely.
This is why we're so similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know when
guilt.
You just finished ejaculating and you're like, what the hell did
and
I do?
And the porn's still playing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I get that same feeling as soon as I gulp down on a load.
Okay.
You know when you're like, what did I just do? I wanted this so bad, but now I don't. God. But who am
Tom?
I
don't have a... When I'm giving, I usually... I'm the top. So most of the time now, I used to always be a bottom, but now I'm always top.
Now you're a blouse.
So now by the time we get to the blowing part, it's usually... Now I'm a blouse, thank you, a feminine top. And by the time we get to that point, it's like we're fucking, so it's not really a mouth thing. But if it is an oral thing, I don't mind a good load in the mouth.
Oh,
that's
fine.
I don't mind it on my face. I don't mind it on my body. The only
thing
is...
A load in the bush is worth...
One in the bush is worth...
Two in the hand.
Two in the hand.
It really is a load in his bush is worth two in my own hand. But the only thing I have a thing about is calm. If it's on my face or my body or anywhere externally, mm-hmm. you've got about 11.5 seconds until I'm gagging at the just touch. Like, oh, yeah, as soon as it starts going cold and sort of coagulated,
where's
I'm like,
the towel?
No, get it off, get it off, get it off.
So,
I'd rather it in my mouth than if it was going to be on my body for a long time. Although, when I'm masturbating by myself, I'll often come on my chest and then just leave it for a couple hours while I watch a couple episodes of The Nanny.
I'm like, if
coming down really badly.
If I masturbate by myself, I'm always
this is what you all judge me on?
That should be sealed.
No, if I masturbate by myself, like, I'm always just like, come on a towel, it's done, goodbye. Like, I don't have to see you again.
If there's one nearby, you know, if you're hungover or whatever, you're just lying in bed and you're like, oh, just have a quick wank to get through this hangover and just, and then you're just like, oh, the towel's on the other side of the room. Is this why I'm single? You're all looking at me like I'm a really bad person.
You're not a bad person.
The other, my ex and I used to, which was quite hot, and I've never really been able to do it with anyone else, but we do this thing where we'd shove our cock right down the throat of the other one as we were coming. So like deep throat as you're coming.
Come
it was actually like both as the giver and the receiver really hot, like shooting right down the throat.
Nice.
I've never really, I think it was like we were very close and we fucked like six times a day. So we kind of had this trust kind of thing because it's like sticking your cock right down someone's throat is, you know, you need to have their trust and stuff. It was hot. We loved it. That was great.
What about snowballing?
This is where you spit their cum into their mouth?
Because that's kind of combining all of my interests and hobbies.
No, stop it. You like focus on the snowflakes and the snowballs. Like, you're like going to build a snowman.
I'm like Elsa from Frozen.
Let it go.
Let it go.
What does everybody feel about, like, the taste?
Oh, yeah, and do you do the thing where you eat the thing and it makes it taste better?
Is it pineapple?
Oh, the pineapple.
Isn't that the thing?
I don't believe that either.
I don't believe it works.
Your diet.
Like, I think that was just, like, the Queensland Tourism Board or something.
Oh,
like,
what? Eat pineapple.
Yeah, guys that eat lots of pineapple have nice tasting cum. Come to Queensland.
I don't remember seeing that billboard when I lived in Brisbane, but okay.
So one of my exes when I was a teenager, every time it came in my mouth, the taste of it reminded me slightly of KFC crispy chicken.
Oh yeah.
That's like nice. Just like in the back of my throat.
I know what the secret recipe is.
You still have that guy's number? I would I'm vegetarian now, so like, I'd really like some.
Every time I was just like, KFC,
why would you ever break up with that person?
Did he work at KFC?
No, he worked at McDonald's.
I think he was cheating on McDonald's.
I once was dating this guy, like many years ago when I was in my trashy... was dating this guy and it wasn't exclusive or anything like that. A very good friend of mine slept with him secretly and was going to keep it a secret from me. So the guy was riding my friend's dick and then like came on my friend's chest and it was iridescent green.
What?
And the guy was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I thought there might be something wrong. Oh my God. Turns out he had like, I don't know, STD or something like that. But
he's like, here's one I prepared earlier.
It was like, my friend was like, I don't believe in God, but I feel like that was some kind of punishment for me sleeping with the guy you're dating.
I didn't know that like, STDs could make it. Like,
I don't know what one does, but apparently it was like.
Did he like grow up near a nuclear power plant?
Possibly, radioactive? Or KFC, possibly. Okay. Who knows?
Is he the Hulk in secret? Like,
we'll have to Google green cum.
That's a Kyle reference.
I'm never going to look at a lava lamp in the same way.
Did I tell the New Year's Eve story on the show yet?
What?
The blood. I was at a New Year's Eve party with someone I'd just started seeing. And it was really weird for a number of reasons. But at some point, he was like, I'm going to go to the bedroom, then wait like 5 minutes and then come in after me and we'll like fool around.
Yeah.
Followed him to the bedroom. And so we fooled around and he blew on my face and in my mouth. And right as he was blowing, it was New Year's Eve and I heard them doing the countdown outside. So I was like, fuck, we got to get out of here.
Was he like Happy New Year, Bloosh?
It was like Bloosh. 10, 9, 8.
So that was the 10 seconds you have until it goes gross.
And so it was like, I got to run. And we ran outside just so no one suspected we'd just had sex in someone else's bedroom and did the countdown. And then this complete stranger was standing next to me. And
stop,
she's like, it's a new year. We have to kiss.
No!
And so she turned and she gave me a kiss on the lips. And then as she pulled away, I just saw this string.
No!
Kick.
No!
Oh my God! connecting us.
I don't want to sit next to you anymore.
And I just had to casually kind of flip it away.
It's like a spider web. Like,
flip like away. A spider web.
It's sort of like the lady in the Stop tramp, it. You know, with the spaghetti.
And so I just said, look at the fireworks.
And she's like, ooh, that salty taste in my mouth.
All right, thanks for listening to The Gays Are Revolting.
Please, of course, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. But also, I would actually really like to say thank you to all the people that have been doing that in the last, I think the last 3 weeks. We've seen like a huge
surge.
Oh, we
got featured.
Yeah. And everyone's been like really great in sharing it with their friends and tagging us and stuff. So thank you for that. Keep doing it.
And all the tweets and the memes.
Oh, yes. We got memes made about us.
I love that.
Yeah. If you guys want to keep up with everything we're doing, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials, you know, at The Gays Revolting.
And thanks for sticking with us this long, and if you haven't pulled out your headphones because of Luke's great stories. But,
can we whisper again? I really like that.
The ASMR.
I really liked it.
Bye. All right,
bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.